finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay. God speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay. At a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
Word of God, speak. We hear the expression, word of God, we recognize it. Typically means the Bible. Can the Bible speak literally to you or to me? Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and it's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The living scripture can indeed speak to you. And as the word of God discerns your thoughts and your heart, it shapes your life and godliness, if you allow it. Word of God, speak. It's amazing to think that the very creator of the universe would actually speak to you personally. Perhaps the most startling proclamation of the Bible is that God will indeed do just that. Speak to you, lead you, guide you. What a wonder. Word of God, speak. The word of God refers to Jesus as well. We think of it as the Word, and it is. But John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There was a day when Jesus was speaking to the non-believing Pharisees, and he made a proclamation to them, but really to the believer, to you and to me. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Word of God, speak. Mercy Me sings, the last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say, to be still and know that you are in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. There are times in our life when we need just that, to be still and know that God is in this place, our place where we need him, and that he will speak to us. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes, all too often, that be still part is the hardest part. That's the one we wrestle with. Have you ever heard the expression, "I have a convention going on in my head"? Life gets challenging, confusing, and our minds just take off. We get these conventions in our head, and we have this convention going on in our heads, and the more we listen to it, the more confused we get. All these thoughts, all these things happening. And if we listened, really listened, we would hear God say, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, there's a discipline that would benefit every follower of Christ, and that's a discipline of getting before God, seeking him for wisdom in your situation, being still before him instead of just giving him a bunch of advice. I've said for years that most of our prayers are just giving God advice. We give him all this advice, and then we just kind of move on, and we forget that be still part. He patiently waits while we rattle off all our advice. But knowing that he's God, that he's going to speak to us, being still before him, trusting he will lead you, and he will impart direction and wisdom. It takes quite a discipline to quiet your mind before God. I think we need the discipline of being before God, being in his word, and being still at times before him. And that takes both the discipline of spending that time and the discipline of that quiet time with him. Shut off the conventions in our head and seek him for his wisdom. And all too often we have a challenge or a situation, we run headlong into the situation trying to make sense of it ourselves. We're going to figure this out, and the scripture addresses it. Proverbs 26:12 says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than him." The biblical definition of a fool is someone who disregards God's word. The Bible lists many characteristics of such a fool, a person, and often contrasting him with one who is wise. The fool is unrighteous. The fool hates what is holy and righteous and good. He loves evil. The fool is unwise, does not seek wisdom, and would reject wisdom if he would acquire it. And the Bible says that the person who thinks he has it all figured out, who's wise in his own eyes, the person who does not seek God's will and God's wisdom, is strong as what the Bible declares a fool is. He said, the Bible says there's more hope for a fool than that person that thinks they're going to do it all on their own. Last week we began looking at God's wisdom and his promise regarding it. And we saw here in James 1:5 following, "If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." As we worked through this last week, we saw that God's wisdom is indeed available to us, but we need to trust him for it without doubting him. We saw the doubter is tossed back and forth, up and down, becoming unstable in all their ways, unstable in every part of your life, and you become confused, we've called a seasick Christian, just dizzy with not trying to get anything straight, not able to. And we saw that Scripture declares clearly the difference between earthly wisdom, our own wisdom, and at times even demonic wisdom, and godly wisdom. James 3:13 and following says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." So we looked at that. We looked at the process, what happens in our life when we're seeking our own way, or how the enemy comes in and distorts truth in our life and brings confusion. Other scriptures we looked at and we saw that we study these verses that God's wisdom, divine wisdom, brings not only with it direction, guidance, and leading, but it brings godly peace with it too, versus the confusion and every evil thing. Startling contrast. And there's no question we need God's wisdom on a daily basis. We need God's wisdom in everyday events of our life, and we need God's wisdom in the most important moments of our life, those life's most important decisions. And it's wonderful news that God promises his wisdom when we turn to him in faith, believing it. We never know when you're going to be called on to make the most important decision in your life, the one that changes everything. How much more important than to develop this practice of seeking God for him and his wisdom every day, to have a pursuit of God's wisdom. We kind of tend to go along in life just getting things worked out ourselves, and then someone comes along, and if we're, you know, spiritual, we stop what we're doing and we seek God for wisdom. What if we had a daily pursuit of his wisdom? What if we said, I'm going to seek God and his wisdom in everything and every day, and just to know him and know his wisdom? Wisdom is far more than knowledge. We've said that wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. Any one of us, if we would survey our past decisions, we would find more than our share of unwise choices, those times when we just blew it. Some of you might have seen the show American Pickers. It's these guys been around for the show for a while, and they travel all around the country, and they go to junkyards and people's barns and all these places, and they find junk. They see gold in it, and they take it back to the shop, and they sell it. That's how they make their living. One time I was watching a show, and they said whenever they get a chance to pick a museum, they jump at it. They said every museum has what they call a room full of mistakes. Something that somebody spent money on, thought it was perfect, the acquisition was a smart choice, and it wound up in the room with the other choices that didn't work out so well. When we look back in our lives, we can all see our own room full of mistakes. And if we're not hard enough on ourselves when we look back, the devil quickly reminds us about it. And what happens then, it comes in, is doubt. You're telling me to believe God, not to doubt him, and yet I look back when I thought I heard from God or I thought I was doing the right thing, and look what happened. There was in my room full of mistake, and we get this doubt comes in. And have you ever noticed, even though we've had past mistakes, each of us, have you ever noticed that God never brings it up? He'll use it and remind us occasionally to help us grow, but he doesn't bring it up. In fact, if you listen carefully to his word, he's either telling you who you are now in Christ or who you will be. God always looks forward. God looks to what he's doing in your life and what he wants to do in your life. He doesn't deny the mistakes, but he doesn't bring them up and beat you up with them. We do that, or the enemy does. God looks forward, and we should do the same. Look forward. Learn from our past mistakes. Yes, certainly, so we don't repeat them. How many of you repeated the same mistake more than once? Learn, but then look forward. Move forward. That's what God tells us to do. Looking forward, leaning on God's promise of his wisdom. Seek his knowledge and his wisdom to apply it. Knowledge is important, but what we sometimes forget is knowledge can be memorized. Wisdom must think things through. Wisdom allows you, enables you to use knowledge correctly. We've all got knowledge. You know, we study things to pass a test, or maybe we're interested in a certain thing and we have knowledge about it. We have people we come across and rattle off all this stuff about a certain subject. But wisdom is how you apply that knowledge. Wisdom must think things through. And Scripture informs us where we are to start. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's that fool again, despising wisdom and instruction. And the fear of the Lord here in this particular instance can be understood as a holy reverence, a holy reverence of who God is. And it's the fool, the unwise, that has no fear of God. Those who behave as they choose without any consideration of God, who he is, and what he deserves. And in reality, there's a tension in Scripture. The Bible tells us, fear not, be at peace. You've not been given a spirit of fear, and yet commands us to have a fear of God. There's that kind of a tension there. And I believe there's a key to understanding, and I mean, I think in years past we've looked at just what the fear of God is. And this key that helps us understand it is that to not fear someone or something is to say you are equal to it or better than it. I'm not afraid of that. I'm as good as they are or that is or better than that. I can handle this. And you would never want to say that you're equal to or better than God. To have this holy reverence of his majesty and his sovereignty and his power and all that and that encompasses. That's a key. Fear of the Lord is recognizing his awesome majesty. And in so doing, Scripture said, it's the beginning of knowledge, the starting point of this daily pursuit of God's wisdom and direction and knowledge. Proverbs 2, 1, and following, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. Isn't that inclining, turning your ear, seeking God's wisdom, and apply your heart to understanding, to discernment, it means. And yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Notice there's a process here. You first start out seeking after, hungry for God's wisdom, God's discernment, God's understanding. It says, when you do that, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You'll understand what it means to fear God, to have God's knowledge and wisdom in your life. Verse 6 is a fundamental key to your growing in God's wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. God gives wisdom. He's the source. All that mankind has ever accomplished is from God's wisdom. Whether they're willing to admit it or not, God is the ultimate source of wisdom. Proverbs 3 says this, the Lord's wisdom founded the earth. His understanding established all the universe in space. The deep fountains of the earth were broken upon, opened by his knowledge, and the skies poured down rain. We have made incredible advances in knowledge and technology. I remember when I got my first computer. That was a long time ago. A few computers were coming around. And then what's interesting, when I think about what I thought that thing could do, we could draw these little pictures with this program and all this stuff. We could, you know, write a document. My phone now does more than what that big computer did. We've grown. Medical technology. My sister's had heart issues over the years, and not that many months ago, actually about almost, no, not quite a year ago, beginning of this year, I think, she needed a heart valve replaced. And they're just starting to do this. They've been doing this over in Europe. She had to go through a battery test. They had doctors actually consulted with doctors in Europe. But, you know, normally you get a heart valve replaced, they cut you open, they cut open your heart, they put this valve in. They took this valve with a, like you do a stent replacement, up through her artery with a little tool, dropped the valve in place, and it took off, and that was it. No open heart surgery. You talk about advancement. We've done incredible advancement and are continuing to do so. But everything that mankind has ever done or acknowledged or growing in, is God gave him the direction. Man advances is really only allowing, God allowing them to understand in a small part how he made things and put things together in the first place. If we get God's wisdom and see how he did this, we could understand then maybe how we can do something with it. And all that you've ever accomplished, or that you've ever achieved, or myself as well, is a direct result of gifting from God, that he'll allow us to see that. That we're gifted in certain areas and gifted to understand things. And we hear the term gifted and we have a certain understanding of it. When we think of gifted, we may think of a gifted child, or an individual that is gifted, a gifted surgeon or a gifted musician, a skilled tradesman that knows how to work with their hands and is gifted, and that's applicable. But the Old Testament, as a matter of fact, called out for very specific gifted individuals in building the temple. And so we think of somebody being gifted as special. And Scripture is clear that we're all gifted in one way or another. We all are. I mean, clearly those are individuals who excel in what they're gifted at in certain areas. They take the very what they've known and then the very best sincerely apply themselves to that, and they become proficient and excel in it. The athlete or the musician who practices constantly, the craftsman who studies his trades and skills, always striving for excellence. Regardless of what you do, the ability to accomplish that is a gift from God. Your ability to understand and to process it is a gift from God. And if you've applied yourself diligently and grown in an area of your gifting, wonderful, you should do that. But it doesn't change the fact that that ability in the first place is a gift from God, your creator. The one that designed you and made you that and me in that way and how his handiwork worked out. And not to acknowledge that is pride or arrogance. Acknowledging God as your source of all wisdom is the beginning of wisdom. It's where we start to acknowledge that whatever I can do, I can only do it because God in his grace and mercy is going to help me do it. Enable me to do it, gifted me to do it, created me to do it. And the pursuit of God's wisdom is a very good thing. There's a strong encouragement in Proverbs for the pursuit of God's wisdom. And I'm not talking about when we need it in this crisis, we should pursue it. But what about pursuing his wisdom all the time? Proverbs 4, verses 5 and 6, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom. She will protect you, love her, and she'll watch over you. Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Verse 12 says, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. Verse 13 says that wisdom hates the same thing that God hates. It's the beginning of knowing who God is. Wisdom hates pride and arrogance, hates evil, evil behavior, perverse speech. That's what God's talking about with this. And wisdom will drive you towards God's ultimate plan and will for your life. How do you know? Every one of us believe God has a plan for us. We want to be in that plan. We will accomplish the most in our lives and be the most effective for everybody around us when we just follow God's will and plan for our life. How will you know that if you don't seek God for it? And there's wisdom in it. Wisdom will drive you towards God's ultimate plan and will for your life. We saw in Proverbs 17 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We said that knowledge, knowing, is one thing, but wisdom is the understanding and application of the knowledge. And that's true, and all that's good. But if you pay close attention, you're about to get real happy. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. First, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom. First, we saw it was the beginning of knowledge. Now it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, knowledge is understanding. Wisdom's application of it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of that. But wait, there's more, like in the commercial. Did you catch that latter part of the verse? The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You've got to love that. Acknowledge of the Holy One. Allow that to sink in for just a moment. Don't skip past it. Don't move forward. Take a breath. Knowledge of the Holy One. Do you know what a privilege and honor that is? Do you know how many people are totally confused by God, completely misunderstand Him? Several years ago, a long time ago, we had a family that came into the church. They had lived a highly dysfunctional life all their life. Far from God. I mean, the family was really a mess. And I don't remember all the things. She came in for counseling through some friends or something, and they got saved, and her husband got saved, and he was a rough character. And they started coming to church, and they were coming into counseling, and they were doing, I mean, their life was better than it had been in years. They really were. They were doing well. They were getting together. They were working on their relationship, working on this dysfunction. They were just starting to get things together, really seeking God. And seemingly out of the blue, it really wasn't, but all of a sudden, this man needed open-heart surgery. Now, he'd lived a horrible life, you know, abused his body and just rough guy, and all of a sudden, he'd open-heart surgery, and he got mad at God. No matter what you told him, he wouldn't listen. He said, I'm finally trying to serve God, and God gives me, I need this open-heart surgery. He blamed God for it. We tried to convince him that, you know, you're just as part of your life. He was mad at God. The day of the surgery, I went there to be with him. He's waiting before they start. He got up and left the hospital. I'm not going to do this. And his wife somehow talked to him and come back, and he got out of that surgery, and he stayed so mad at God. Blame God for it. Did not understand God. He was dead within a year. Whole family came apart. One of the sons eventually killed himself. I mean, tragic story. Do you know what a privilege it is to have the knowledge of the Holy One, to know God, to understand and discern the difference when something's from God or God's on your side or God's against you in all this nonsense the world tried to tell us? Knowledge of the Holy One. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom. Such a blessing. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. To know and understand the holiness, character, and power of God. New Living Testament says knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. To not only know God and have a sense of who He is, but because of that, you begin to get good judgment. You begin to function in wisdom. John 17:3 says, now this eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, that you would know God. And Jesus Christ. Only possible, we know, through the salvation of Christ. But once you know Christ, once you're saved, you have the opportunity to develop a reverence for God and for His holiness. A hunger for His wisdom, a hunger for His understanding, for His knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 gives us a prescription for God's wisdom. My son, if you receive my words, treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, you apply your heart to understanding. See, there's some working we got to do here. There's some work on our part. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, search for her as in treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We receive God's word. We treasure, hide His commandments, His word within us. Incline your ear, listen, seek wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. Becomes a process to living daily in God's wisdom. Developing your heart and mind towards God continually. This is how you function in wisdom daily. Not just when you cry out, when you're troubled. And the reality is the developing of wisdom keeps us out of trouble. The developing of wisdom keeps us from making those mistakes. I am exceptionally thankful that when I have blown it, I can seek God and He'll give me some direction and wisdom, at times rescue me, at times help me work through the challenging of my mistake. But I'm more grateful for the fact that I can know God, seek God, and not make the mistake in the first place. That's what he's saying here, that wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God is a daily pursuit. Proverbs continues on in chapter 2. For the Lord gives wisdom. What a promise. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's got it ready for you when you need it. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice, preserves the way of his saints, preserves your way. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, some translations say knowledge brings you joy. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. I can't encourage you more than to meditate on this passage, Proverbs 2, 6 through 12, this week. Meditate on it. Think about what this is saying. Knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. One translation says, wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. That right there is worth the price of admission, isn't it? Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted, from the man who speaks perverse things. This protection of God, the discretion of God, we need to hunger for that. On a daily basis, we're surrounded by the world's view of what is acceptable and what is wise. Perverse ways of the world will erode your heart towards God. It will undermine godly wisdom in your life. It's just a reality. Just a reality. Are we hungry for God's wisdom? Do we only cry out when there's a problem? Are we pursuing it on a daily basis? Invite the worship team to come forward. James 1, 5, and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It will be given him, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Last week, we talked about the tragedy of doubt. Not seeking God's wisdom, doubting he will give it to you. What a tragedy. How would your life be better? How would your life be different if you pursued God's wisdom on a daily basis? How many miracles have you missed? How often have you missed out on being in the very presence of God simply because we doubted God? That's the tragedy of doubt. And the opposite is to pursue him, to come into his presence, to know he's promised it, and seek him on a daily basis. Let's worship our God together. And as you worship, if you need wisdom, this is a great time to do it. Get before your God, stand up and start to worship him. If you're looking for some direction, this is the beginning of him speaking to your life. Let's worship our God.